Hello.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Curtis Baker. I am the director of the Akron Metropolitan Area Transportation Study. AMATS is your regional transportation planning agency. Our role is to fund federal dollars roadway projects, bikeway projects, sidewalk projects throughout Summit and Portage County. So that is our role. And obviously, Green, the Mayor Green, is a member. Our board is made up of all the elected officials in Summit and Portage County. So one of the things that we do as a metropolitan planning organization is we have pretty much bi-monthly public meetings that are called the Citizens Involvement Committee. These meetings are typically held in downtown Akron at the Public Library, but what we try to do sometimes when the subject matter permits it is get together other locations throughout the two counties and to focus on something that's been a local project or a local plan. In this case, because AMATS did fund the Green Connected Communities Plan that is before you, we thought it was a good opportunity to bring our regular Citizens Committee meeting to Green to both kind of see the local response, but also talk a little bit from the regional perspective. So today, what we plan to do is we're going to hand it over to the City of Green. The City of Green was going to talk about their plan, which I believe most of you already know about. And then we also will just put in a plug at the end for our regional planning that we do, our long-range plan. We're doing a bike plan right now that's a regional plan, so it's not nearly as specific as this, but we'll also be able to take any questions on that. Our goal is to be out of here about 8 o'clock, so obviously if you need to go, feel free to go. But you're welcome to stay, and we'll try to stay around to ask, answer as many questions as you have. So with that, I guess, is there any questions about what AMATS is or what AMATS does before we move on? Yes, sir.
Just tell us what they are and what they do.
Yes, so we basically, so every time you guys go to the gas station and you fill up your pump, 18 and a half cents of that is the federal gas tax. Then that sense goes back to Washington, and Washington says, okay, we've got to distribute this money to all the states and all the urbanized areas. And so some of that gas tax comes back to the Akron urbanized area, which is Summit and Portage County. What it ends up to be is about $12 million a year. And AMATS is the agency, we're the staff for the board, which is the elected officials, to decide how to spend that money every 2 years. So there's a lot of projects in Green, none of them coming to the top of my head, which AMATS has funded. Partially, we fund about, we always do 80% funding to 20% local match. So one of the reasons that, say, we funded a plan like this, a trail plan, is because we have funds that are eligible to be used, federal funds that the city can apply for to then build trails that they think are necessary. And so for us, what we're looking at, obviously, a lot of these trails are local and local to neighborhoods and local to residences. But what we're looking at, what we're interested in funding, if we fund any trails, are ones with regional significance. So something that maybe somebody that's not a resident of Green would see as a regional amenity, not just a local amenity. The rest of what you see on the map are trails that most likely would be funded by the City of Green itself. So that's how we play a role on the trail planning side, is that our board does have access to about $1 million a year to invest in bikeways, trails, etc. Hopefully I didn't confuse anyone anymore, but does anyone have any other questions? Excellent. Well, I'm going to introduce Sarah Herring from Green, and she's going to talk about the City of Green Master Trail Plan. And with that, take it away.
Good evening, everyone. I am Sarah Herring. I'm the Community Development Administrator for the City of Green. Before I start talking about the Master Trail Plan for just a moment, I'd like to recognize the City's Living Green Task Force. If you're here, just wave your hand. Thank you, guys. This is our regular meeting night. The City has many boards and commissions and teams. The Living Green Task Force meets and talks about focuses like recycling and clean air, can share what's going on with them. I'm excited to share this plan with you tonight, along with Kristen Lingenfelter. She's our GIS planner in our planning department. And in 2016, we wrote a grant for AMAT's Connecting Communities program. And we were awarded that grant. We asked AMAT's for money to develop a trail plan that would give City of Green a vision and a framework for making decisions about trails, sidewalks, and making connections. Connectivity, though, is not a new conversation in the City of Green. In about 1998, the city's land code was, or the development code was changed to require that all new subdivisions put sidewalks in. And that was a great change, especially if you're in a new subdivision. That didn't really help those of you who don't live in new subdivisions, and so we have a map that has quite a bit of gaps, if you will. We did a gap analysis a while ago. So about 2007, we received another grant and did what's called a school travel plan. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with Safe Routes to School. That was an initiative that we undertook with Green Local Schools. That was quite the process. It was a lot of fun, did a lot of outreach, did a lot of talking to parents. Because the goal there was to provide a way for our kids to be able, perhaps, to walk and bike safely to school. So that was 2007. 2008, the city did the very first improvement at the crosswalk there, right at Shriver and Skeese. And put a little bit of sidewalk in there. That was the same year the roundabout went in. And some sidewalks happened there. And so then the next piece was to finish the Skeese sidewalks all the way to Maslin. And then the next piece was to take the Skeese sidewalks down to, Greenwood. And then our last piece was to do a multi-purpose trail up through and in front of Portage Lakes Career Center. So we've developed and that is the multi-use trail that's the portion on Skeese that goes to Greenwood. So we've invested quite a bit of time and money and energy in that connectivity system, if you will. It sits in the heart of our city. It benefits our students. And our question then was, what next? So, over the years, after the school travel plan, actually we do have, currently, we have a trail plan in our transportation plan. About 2004, I guess it was, we did a four trail focus plan. When Mayor Norton was in office, he seated some committees to focus on strategic initiatives, and one was sidewalks and connectivity. And so that got wrapped into the transportation plan. And so we accomplished right here in the heart. But we needed help answering the questions, what next? And how do you prioritize? And where do people want to go? And where do people want to walk, or do they want to walk? And where do they want to bike, or do they want to bike? And so we applied for the Connecting Communities grant to help us create a document that would be holistic, that would help us look at a lot of parameters that we hadn't looked at before, perhaps topography, perhaps regional connections, all sorts of things. And part of that, of course, is public engagement. We wanted to understand where people wanted to go, and so part of the goal and process for this plan was public engagement. The very first thing we did as we were preparing for, we had some meetings at the end of 2017, and we created a survey. And I don't know how many of you got it. We sent it to all the email addresses that we have. We had not a shabby showing with that, but by and large, the answer we got from where do you want to walk and what would you like to see us do in terms of connectivity is we want sidewalks in our neighborhood. That was number one by far. Understandable. We want to be able to walk out your door and to get somewhere. But can you imagine trying to prioritize the green neighborhoods? How in the world do you choose which one gets sidewalks first? So then the next question we asked was, well, if you could walk outside your door and you had a sidewalk, where do you want to go? And the overwhelming answer was, well, we'd like to get to our parks. And Butler and Southgate Park was by far the most frequent response, followed by the Nenasula Metro Park. So what we focused on was finding routes that did both. Got people to our parks and picked up neighborhoods along the way so that as we went that way, maybe we could connect with those folks. Survey was first. We started meeting internally, and then just about this time last year, we had a meeting right here. And we had several boards. This is one where we asked folks to just tell us with stickers, you know, if you could go anywhere, if you could bike anywhere, where would you like to go? Just to get a sense of what people think about when they think about what's in their city. We did this exercise too in a different way with our Green Leadership Institute students. We asked them to make a cultural asset map. A lot of times when you think about cultural assets, you think about Cleveland or a big orchestra, but the city of Green has its own cultural assets, and so we asked them to sit down and make their map and talk about the great places that there are to go in Green. That same month was the State of the City Address, and so we took our boards to the State of the City Address, and anybody who wanted to walk by, we engaged in a conversation, did the exercise again, went to Celebration of Education in February, and talked to a lot of folks there. One of the most dynamic things that we did was in August. Thank you, Paul Sioka, standing back there, sitting back there. We had a bike and brainstorm in partnership with AMATS, where the sheriff helped those who signed up for that event actually bike the alignment from Denver to Central Park. And that was an activity that was very well received. This is just a timeline of all of the things that we did to as we were creating the plan. On the bottom, you see the team meetings. The team was planning director of the city, the engineer, Chrissy and myself, Paul Sioka was part of that team, our consultants from Environmental Design Group, and also our partners from AMRAT sat on that team meeting. We met six times in the public meetings I talked about are up at the top. Chris is going to kind of talk to you about the nuts and bolts.
Thank you, Sarah. I always hate following Sarah after her presentation because she always does such a fabulous job. So, so after we did our public engagement portion, we took all of that feedback, all of the communication, all of the tallies from the boards that we had at the meetings, and we began to shuffle through all the results, and then we also looked at the existing conditions in the city, and we started, you know, mashing things together. So some of the existing conditions we considered were existing sidewalks. That's what's showing up on the screen right now. So you can see all the gaps in the sidewalks. So that helped us with our gap analysis. We also considered the elevation model of the city, where the topography is. We wouldn't want to put a trail somewhere where it's too steep or uncomfortable to, you know, ride up a hill. Who wants to ride up a hill? Not me. We also looked at the location of our community parks because the overwhelming feedback we got was people want to connect to to the parks, to and from the parks. We looked at existing land use and also the census data. Where are the population centers? You know, where can we put something that would serve the most people? So then all of that information got compiled and this route matrix was created. I know you cannot read this. There is a, if you were able to grab a trail plan, I think we ran out. It is in the trail plan and it is available on the website. But the route matrix helped to set priorities. Because one of the goals we really wanted from this plan was, where do we need to focus our energies first? You know, it's great having a map and idea and vision, but, you know, what do you do then? We wanted to know where we wanted to prioritize and really focus in on things first. So the route matrix, what it's weighted by its destination ranking and its population rank, as well as if it offers regional connectivity. To go back to what Curtis was saying at the beginning, if we're to be eligible for federal dollars, we have to show that a trail would have that regional connection. So then we came up with this final plan, and this is the final draft, and this is what we're rolling out to the public this month at the public meetings. I think we've been on pretty much every public meeting agenda this month that has occurred. So this is where we're asking for your feedback again. This is the concept of what we've come up with, and I do want to make a brief comment about this is just a concept plan. We did not go into any engineering. We did not look at parcel level detail. That wasn't the intent of this. The intent was to establish where those destinations are that we want to connect and what the priorities are. So once we have the plan adopted or not, we can then establish what trail we want to pick first, and then we go into the engineering. And the engineering phase is when you really get boots on the ground, you start to walk the alignments and really focus in on where that actual route would occur. And that's when we would start engaging specific property owners. Our goal here is to not go on private land, you know, without working with a property owner. So all these lines on the map, purely concept. I do not envision that any trail that would be built would follow the line as it shows on the map today. Okay? So then the regional connection, which is a vital part of the plan. We did reach out to neighboring communities during the process, and actually, we found out Springfield Township to the north was also working on a trail plan. So we actually met with them, and they were interested in wanting to know where we were going to put trails on the north end of our city where we share a border, so that we can show that regional connection. They have it on their plan, we'll have it on ours. We met with Stark Parks. They also have a trail plan, and so we wanted to align with them, and so that's what is shown on the map. One of the biggest comments about where people want to connect outside of Green was the towpath. We all want to get to the towpath. We love the towpath. It's such a great asset in Summit County. And so we show a possible towpath connection to the west through Franklin. And we just heard, I believe, in the last month or so that Coventry Township to the north also is beginning to look at a trail plan. So hopefully we can get some alignments there also. So this is the kind of final draft that we have. We have two boards here tonight, and we have some Sharpies. And, you know, feel free, after the meeting is over, feel free to grab a Sharpie and make notes on the map. Show us if you missed anything. Show us if you don't like something. We want to know, this is a public plan. We want feedback from the public. So that's what we're here doing tonight. Sarah, do you want to touch on the next steps?
As Chrissy mentioned, we've been at several meetings this month, and we've worked with this plan for just about a year and 9 months, and so we know pretty well inside and out. But it occurs to us, as there's been a lot of conversation in the last couple of weeks about this plan, and we're grateful for that. Feedback and conversation is good. We need to engage, to be interested in what's going on. But we have decided that we're going to slow down our rollout process a bit, give you some time to give us more time to disseminate to you, give you more time to take it all in. So over the next 3 months, we're going to do some brainstorming about how we can be sure that people have this information. We're going to be available. We have our business cards with us tonight. We both work at the planning department. Give us a call if you have questions. We just want to take time to answer questions, to share good information, and we will probably, in all likelihood, have another public meeting just like this. Should there be some changes, those will be represented there and give you another opportunity for feedback. We're not in a hurry. We do anticipate that at some point in the next 7 months, this will go before City Council to be adopted officially into the city's transportation plan. I have said in other public meetings that our timeline was February, and that's just not the case. There's no reason to hurry it that much. People want some time to read it and ask questions, and that's a great thing. So one of the things I want to make sure that all of you've done, there's a sign-in sheet, but there's also comment cards there from the city. And if you would like us to inform you about meetings, or especially the final draft public meeting and when it goes before City Council, if you share your email address with us, we'd be happy to make sure that you get that information. And with that, we'd be happy to answer questions, or if anybody would like to come and have some. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the end product was to put this into the city transportation plan.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean?
I'm going to take that one.
Having it formally adopted gives backing to the plan for when we apply for grants. One of the first questions for grant applications is, do you have a plan? And if the answer is no, then you can just stop right there. But one of the caveats of having a plan is that plan supported by your city, by your organization? And the transportation plan is a document that City Council adopted several years ago, and it's in desperate need of an update. So we're also working on an update of that, which hopefully will happen when this goes before City Council, so we can do it all at once. So the transportation plan just kind of guides our engineering department and also the planning department on projects. Does that answer your question?
I'm not sure I understand what it means. Is there any legal or binding connotation
no.
to having that?
Good question. Even with the adoption of the trail plan, it does not obligate the city to ensure that every trail on the plan is constructed. This is a very long-reaching plan, 20, 30, 50 years. And even at that point, every trail on that map most likely will not be built. This is a pie-in-the-sky vision. It's a concept to guide decisions for the city. So, and even at the point of when we have a trail that we want to move forward with and we ask for engineering funds and construction funds, those requests also go back to City Council for approval. So even if it is in the document, City Council doesn't have to approve it, they can't approve it, it's up to them.
That plan is going right through my front yard, which is state land and private land. Are they prepared to take the land by eminent domain to make this master plan go through?
No. That's not the intention.
But if they approve this, is that going to be blocked?
Like I said, this is it's a concept. All the lines on the map are a concept at, you know, the 50,000 foot scale. We did not look at this at the parcel level, property by property. That wasn't the intention at this point. Once alignments are selected to pursue, then the actual route will be adjusted. The use of eminent domain is not the intention of this.
For a pie in the sky kind of plan, this is pretty specific. And as the meetings have progressed here, we've got two pretty centralized hot zones, and that's the Lassa and Steese Road. And quite honestly, the more meetings we have, the more opposition seems to be growing. So my question is, the input that you got, did you actually get input in these areas where people actually live there? Because as people begin to find out about this plan, they're against it completely. I can tell you, there's nobody who supports the Lassa. Nobody is near it or around it.
That's why we're taking our time and gathering more public input.
Yeah, we
do. Why not take it out?
Take it out. This is about as bad an idea as we have had in transportation in our city since our city was formed. And I understand this is, as you say, pie in the sky, we have to have a plan. But I can tell you, that section of the road there, you have more opposition against that, and probably a third or half the people here tonight are here because of those two areas alone. And they need to be dropped out, and if we're going to step back and this, no, just cut them out. Start over, because that's a bad idea.
We met with the property owners on the south side of the Silla Reservoir. Okay, we met with a handful of them yesterday, and the discussion was removing that. We have not removed it from the map yet because that was just yesterday.
A portion was removed. I might use that. You said
no, that's not what
we
said.
That's not what we said. And nothing about Common Road.
And again, this is, we don't want this to be an adversarial type of process here tonight. I know you're trying to get information out, but as the information is just starting to get out, people are very up in arms about this. A lot more than what's here tonight. And so, and I know the mayor said he's stepping back, pushing his back a little, this February 6th date or February 20th date or whatever, but this needs to really get pushed back some, and I think we need a whole lot more input from the whole city, not just the people that are interested in biking and trailing and that kind, because I've talked to a number of people the last couple of weeks, and the opposition is almost completely 100%.
That's exactly what we're doing. We're slowing it down and we're taking more.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay? Yes.
So we live on the southwest side of Minnesota. This is my group. Your maps got a good one through my
community. Could you get people to mind something?
Yeah, here.
The room is about a little smaller than this lake and this lake. The one map you have, if you back your PowerPoint up, shows you one out to comment now. There's no change on that side. So there's no EMT availability, no policing availability. You're literally taking the safety of our family and our children. That's what makes zero sense to me, my family, my neighbors. Just to remove it from the map, I hear conceptual. I hear words like to get to, not get around, but to get to. But then it became this, and I've been to a few of these meetings, and I don't understand why that just can't go away. I've seen the map enough times, just make it go away. It's unsafe to my family, it's unsafe to my neighbor's family.
That was our discussion.
In the areas, cannot the trail go to the next, to the side of the road like on Caston, where you have a wide berm?
Sure.
And then you have a bike trail on the road, a hike trail. Right. And that, so in those areas, can it just be not on the road? That's not going through property, people's property, but on the road. Is there a problem with that?
We own houses that are above the road.
Well, so like I'm talking about Crispin, can't you put wide on the road and have a bike path?
No homes.
So is that an issue?
No.
No.
For no homes, right?
Okay.
But again, now, Skeesra, it's the most dangerous section of road in our city, Esther. There isn't any room in there for any, they haven't even proved it yet. So to put any kind of bike lane in there or any kind of anything, you're going to have to take people's property to do that. And I can tell you, there's no appetite for taking any type of, about 1 inch of property in this city so somebody can walk and ride a bike on it. And Skeesra, I mean, that the idea of even introducing cars and people in that section of the road is beyond me. I don't know how you think that'd be a good idea. And I know a lot of the people here are saying that, a lot of people speak up like some of them.
We don't have all the answers right now.
I understand that. But
at the meeting where you had stickers to put places where people wanted to go or wanted to be connected, were there also stickers to indicate places people didn't want connected or didn't want to go? Or was it only possible to answer in the affirmative?
Correct. It was only possible to designate where you want to go. Yes.
In your maps that you were showing the people with the stickers, were the houses on maps?
No, they were.
We talked to quite a few people, viewers. You'd be surprised about people that don't even know the residents that live. That their property is up against them, so the resident. They didn't even realize they were houses.
And last week at the meeting when you two presented to the panel was completely aware of whatever's been happening for apparently a year. They had not heard of any of this as well, and they represent the city. So I don't know what our point is tonight then, if we're just sharing comments, or is anything going to actually come up?
Yes, we're accepting comments, and then we will make more modifications and have another public meeting with this council.
You have the other map up there, too. I seen the other map where we adjusted earlier. Your power point is going to come straight out. With that map, you have a 300-foot catwalk being put through Minnesota Reservoir over the top of it.
Right.
How do you put that in without putting gas motors and vehicles in the way?
Like I said, this is not an engineered plan.
That's also one of the deepest parts of the lake.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be running.
Will that actually happen? It would be very costly. The actuality of that portion of it, probably not.
So move away from the property part for a second. That's the joke I call me. But you guys are trying to secure funding for this. What amount of funding are you securing for law enforcement? Because you're creating, this may be a question for Annex too. But you're creating an interconnected secondary infrastructure from the main roadways, correct? So what kind of drug trafficking is going to take place on these non-patrol bike paths? I ride the towpath on a regular basis, and I can tell you for years I've seen a couple of park rangers, but I've never seen anybody, you know, maybe just sitting in their car and waving at you as you go by. But you're now going to create this secondary interconnected infrastructure that goes from here to Cleveland.
I mean, we would
going to patrol it?
We would certainly work with our sheriff's office. In the Metro Park, they have rangers on there.
Yeah, that's... I grew up in this area.
Do you live there? Seriously, do you live in the city of Green?
I do, thank you.
What area?
I live
not on the trail, though, right?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry, thank you. And thank you for slowing down for those of us who just got out of today. So I do appreciate that and the transparency. I know some other people have my question is, I have a dead end street that doesn't show a dead end on that, it shows a connectivity to the road. How do we go about knowing if we're going to be a shared path or a side path? Because as our roads is now, our houses are very close to that street, so what's the side path to do on that? I just my road is Molly Drive, and that's my question. It's a very small dead end street as it sits now, and you've got it showing as two connectivities. Which is next to Fortuna, which would do the same thing. But are you planning on taking a sidewalk through, and you know which side, you know know, because both sides of the roads are too close, and the road was dedicated after the houses were already built. So the road is less than 30 feet. So just the question there is, how much are we going to take into our side of
the road? The actual trail option wouldn't be determined until engineering starts, and we start working with Farm Bureau owners and actually look at more detail of the specific area.
I just wonder, so if this is engineering and they take a look at this map and it's not been adjusted, is that now, and they say, okay, it's a go, do you lose all your rent money if you don't get this whole thing approved? So if that goes to my doorstep and they go, this is impossible because we got to go through marshland, then it comes off, or can it come off before it ever gets presented? Can that plan change before it gets to that level? Or are we going to be doing this for the next time?
I live on Molly Drive as well. Why is Fortuna not being used in Molly Drive as actually being shown on the map as being a connectivity route, and Fortuna's not past the Springfield complex?
If you don't mind, that's a very good observation. Can you grab a Sharpie at the end of the meeting and make a note of that? I believe because that development to the south of Molly Drive, you see the green lines there. The green lines indicate when a development occurs, we would ask the developer to make some trails within your development. So I believe Molly Drive was used because of that opportunity, but Fortuna can also, is certainly right there too.
We went through that with the development last year,
right?
And Molly Drive was basically excluded and taken out.
Right.
So do these maps show that development still being in there and connected? If you guys have been working on this for a year plus, you went to war basically with them last year, and they took Molly Drive off of that development. Does it show that perhaps?
Grab a marker and make that note. That will be okay.
So we currently have a 2014 master trail plan.
Correct.
And in that plan, several points are connected. They're also connected in this point. So for example, Central Park and Bedford Park are connected straight down Shriver over Greensburg and down Coons. But in this map, it comes down Shriver to PLCC and then cuts through a whole number of private properties.
It's a straight line.
How did changes like that, if I can see it, it looks like a 7
right
there.
It's yes. One. So that trail,
how did those changes happen? Because I keep hearing it's conceptual, but it's not two dots with a dotted line between it. These lines are running on streets and through properties.
When that trail, when we begin the engineering on that, it's not going to be a straight line.
That's not my question. How did it get changed? Because I'd much rather stay with the 2014 master trail.
Okay. All right. Do you mind grabbing a Sharpie and making that note on there as well? Thank you.
This is the most number of people that have had this plan. Are you guys taping this so that you're getting all of our comments?
It is being recorded. It is being recorded.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. I'm going to go back to the lasso, and I agree that that's a disastrous thing. But just for the record, you know, that part of the plan isn't new. Not at all. That goes back 15 to 20 years, okay? At that time, there was a bike hike committee. We had to, the administration reluctantly put two representatives from Nemecula, the Nemecula neighbors, on that committee. And we were able to convince the city to only put a bike lane on Christmas. Over the years, this discussion has reared its ugly head, and we've continued to monitor, never once having been invited or consulted, not in a focus group, not anything, before springing the concept on the public once again for this lasso. Nemecula is the only location in Green and surrounding areas, including the other Portage Lakes, that's a true sportsman's paradise. Fishermen can be found all along the banks of the reservoir, on the ice in winter, on the reservoir in small boats. Sailboats, kayakers, and sailboarders don't have to contend with the gas motors creating dangerous wakes because there's only electric motors. Birders abound because of the osprey, eagles, migratory patterns of the Purple Mountains, all of whom are affected by the increased traffic in the area. Between the clearing of the trees on the north and along Caston, and the clear cutting on the south end by Nexus, and the needed remodeling by Metro Parks, bats, deer, raccoon, and other animals are having to find new habitats. So it's not just our backyards that are affected by this landscape. When this bike trail was proposed some 15 to 20 years ago, over 5,000 fishermen and visitors to the area signed a petition that opposed ruining the area by further destruction. A formal riparian impact report was prepared, as well as proposed alternative routes. We are extremely concerned about the impact of cutting down even more trees and more construction and what that will do to the riparian conditions of the lake. Removing the Nemecilla Lasso would allow for the destination identified as desirable as three-quarters of the way around the reservoir is already in place. I doubt that any citizens would want their backyards invaded were they aware that the plans call for up-close and personal views of people and property. We are taking this opportunity to apprise Ammons of the residents and local citizens' concerns about this portion of the master plan and hope that the city will remove it from the draft plan. The Nemecilla Lasso will be a total disaster and a violation of individual homeowner rights to homeowner rights to safety and security. I urge you to support the deletion of this portion of the plan for consideration.
Thank you. If I can take over. First of all, thanks to Chrissy and Sarah. I think they have obviously heard the concerns, especially regarding those pieces of the trail. And I think that that's important, and I'm glad you're all here to talk about those things. What I do want to do, just before we kind of head out, if there are more questions, I'm sure they'll hang back, we'll hang back. But just to give you a little bit of an understanding of how a lot of these trails get developed, these are usually mostly, they take almost a decade when you're talking about a real trail. When they're talking about a 50,000-foot view and a concept plan, it's always scary when there's lines on the map, and I understand that. One of the problems is that if you don't put a line on the map, you also don't get anybody to look at the map. So you have to start somewhere, and I know that that's not necessarily a good thing, but it's true. The second part about it is that usually what will happen in these is, so as they were saying, the concept, if someone comes to Annex and they say they want to do a trail, one of the things that we're looking at is we're not looking at even this map. The next thing we're saying is, have you done a feasibility study? That's the next step. Feasibility study is a $15,000 study, usually, that looks at everything from surveying work to, you know, the costs that will be required for each piece of the trail. If they have done that, that's when we consider funding it. At that point, when they do a feasibility study, usually there's an attempt to get public comment. And then when they do a, when it comes to AMATS to actually be funded, there's another opportunity for public comment. Trails in this area are so difficult to build because of some of the issues you guys are raising now. There's property issues. No, we don't take trails. I don't know of any trail that's used in the domain in Summit County. Like, it just doesn't, it typically doesn't happen. So what the community is always trying to do is they're trying to make it work in the public right of way, which can be very difficult. Trails also, if they have a groundswell of disapproval, people don't want them, they're not going to happen, usually, because it's too difficult. It's hard enough for a community and a public servant to want to put in a trail for the residents. When there is major opposition, it makes it almost impossible because there's all these other hurdles that people have to cross to get a trail built. We have had multiple trails that they start off and the idea is to go from point A to point B, and they change to the point where point A and point B aren't the same spots that they begin. And it's because of private property. It's because of the ground contours. It's because of all sorts of issues planning is. So, and I think that's what, when they say it's a concept plan, I think that's what they're talking about, is that you can't take this and go build a trail in 2 years. You can't take this and build a trail in 4 years. You can't take this and build a trail in 6 years. This is a long process, and so that's why when we're talking about vision, it's about what do we think makes sense. I understand their concerns. I will say this. There are a lot of examples of trails in people's backyards that have been successful, that people like. There's some of them in Hudson. There's some of them throughout the towpath and the bike and hike. That's not to say that when it's your property,
You have every right to not want it there. I get that. But it's not something that what we've seen as being a major crime inhibitor or a crime inducer. And in fact, most studies that we have, and some of the studies that have been done in Ohio, and especially the most prominent one was done in Yellow Springs in Dayton, shows that if you're within a quarter mile of a trail, your property values go up by 8 to 15%. I'm sorry?
Feet. It's going to be approximately 5 feet from my property.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just saying specifically.
The ground will even support it.
Right.
Because it's wet.
And there's a very good chance that it won't. And if it doesn't, it won't go there. So that's the idea is that that's why this is conceptual. I am sure they will take this off if it's something that no one wants. And it requires a lot of engineering and a lot of time and a lot of energy to figure it out. But the bottom line is that's the whole point of this. So I think the reality is that people don't feel like they have public involvement in this process. It doesn't matter how many public meetings that were had. It means you feel like you weren't included, and so you need to be included. And so I think that's what the city's doing. I applaud them for that. And I think it makes sense for you guys to, I think most of it on these two properties, I think it's been heard loud and clear. But I think the reality is as well is that there's a whole other piece here of lots of different pieces of trails and stuff that it is would be interesting to know if there is any feedback. Oh, sir?
Yeah. Back to the last one. Is there a way that we can get feedback on what we think would be an acceptable plan for that? Can we say, hey, this is what, why don't you try this?
Oh, absolutely. I think the bottom line is I think when people are putting together this plan, what you're looking at is you're saying, okay, where do people like to go? And from my recollection of these meetings is it's like, well, that the walking trail on the west side is incredibly popular. People like to use it, people like to walk on it, etc. It's an amenity, other people in Green would like to get to it. Okay, how do we make that happen? So then a consultant, an engineer draws a line on the map saying, this might be a good way to make it work. There's a million other ways to draw those lines. And so any suggestions, I'm sure, the city would consider and be interested in hearing. Sir?
I've been in the city for about 8 years, and I just want to say there's been a lot of, some of those paths developed in my neighborhood, and I really appreciate the increased connectivity for my my family and my children, and I look forward to, I know there's some areas of detention, but some of the other areas I'm excited to see develop. I appreciate all the hard work.
Now, thank you for your time. I'm sorry, Mary, you had another.
Well, my question was, I keep hearing that this has been going on, and for a year, everybody's had an opportunity to be in meetings to hear about this. But then why was the actual panel of Green last week, when we were at our first meeting, why was it their first time as representatives of Green to hear it themselves, and yet you guys keep saying it's been going on for a year?
Well, I would apologize because I don't know what the panel on Green is. Parks and Rec meeting. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, and I think it's all the more reason that we continue to meet on it. I think that's pretty much all I can say. I'm not sure why someone within the city didn't know. And when we say the meetings have been going on, I think what we're really saying is that this group met 6 times over a year and a half. It's not like someone was constantly drawing trails over this, but obviously.
There were like 40 people, and it came down to actually 40 people out of 26,000 mm-hmm. that actually said they want this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. None of them, I don't think, knew that there are any residents among any of these trails, because there aren't.
I'm not sure, just the rest.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reality is when you don't live somewhere, it's easy to look at a map and say something makes sense there.
Sure.
And when you do live somewhere, and if the line goes over your property, it's different. And I think that that's the reality. And so that's what I think, the employees of the city of Green are trying to figure out. I think this will be a good process. Sometimes, obviously, there's tension and growing pains, but I think they're here, and AMETS will not fund a trail that people don't want. It just won't happen. So, I tell you that as the director of that, we would not want to fund a trail that no one has interest in building. Because what we don't want to do is give money to a trail only to have it collapse and then have money sitting out there that didn't get built for something. So, you know, my guess is that this will get reworked, that it will come in a way that's a lot more amenable to the people that are here. But again, I think when we did get the public feedback that we did, there were a lot of people that do want those connections. And I think, and I'm not saying that's specific to the Lasso, but I think the reality is what we're seeing region-wide is that every community is coming to us saying, we want more bike connections. We want more pedestrian connections. So those things are in demand, and as people, you know, that's what makes communities marketable right now. So I think that what the city is doing is a great step in that direction. This is the growing pains of figuring out where it really should be or shouldn't be. And I do think that your comments will be taken, and if, you know, and for sure, Annex has heard loud and clear how you guys feel about it, and we have an understanding of the situation. So we appreciate that.
I'm sorry, I just have a few comments that I would like to make to the group as a whole, seeing how this is the largest group that we have been able to see together within the last week and a half regarding this plan. 9 days ago, I was fortunate enough to scroll through Facebook and see that the city had announced that they were presenting this plan at the council meeting. It was 5:45 after I got off work, and committee meetings had already started. That was the only time during council that this plan was going to be presented. Judging by the turnout of people that are here tonight, I would imagine that most of you weren't aware of that either. I immediately headed over to the Central Administration Building in hopes that I could present concerns about the proposed Dimmesdale Lasso as soon as possible to council. In the past 9 days, our group of residents have been working tirelessly to share our concerns and generate awareness throughout the rest of the city. The majority of the feedback that we have been receiving from fellow citizens has been supportive. Many of these residents share the same concerns that we do in regards to the trails running through their neighborhoods. I'm not going to bore you all again with our long list of concerns, but rather ask that you look back at the past week's televised meetings to hear us speak on the plan. We also have copies of our position of opposition that we would love to share with anyone who would be happy to read it. As it currently stands, Minnesota neighbors and homeowners will continue to actively oppose this master trail plan as it stands. 20 years ago, past administration proposed a plan that was almost identical to today's proposed Minnesota Lasso in their master trail, in today's master trail plan. That plan 20 years ago was met with vast opposition from residents, just like it is today. The past administration labeled our group of concerned residents the not-in-our-backyard types. So for those of you that are here tonight to oppose this master trail plan because it runs through your backyard, or your neighbor's yard, or your front yard, or your side yard, I'd like to welcome you to the not-in-my-backyard club. You're in good company.
Thank you. That has been reported for you.
I just have a question. When you develop these plan systems, what kind of actual notice do you give affected property owners, and at what stage do you do that?
Usually notice of property, I think notice of property owners, that's usually done by the community. And I believe it's usually done, it's community by community, but usually I think it's done in the engineering phase of a trail. Like, hey, we're going to be looking at this, we're putting design money into this to make you aware of it. I'm not sure if Green has a policy, or if you're familiar with that, or Paul, does that sound about right?
You'll be noted. I mean, when it comes down to it, when you're engineering this, you're obviously looking at the contours, you're looking at all that, you have a conceptual plan, you're looking to build that plan. You don't get into notifications. I mean, these are when you're notifying property owners on a general scale, but when you want to notify individual properties, at that point, that's when we're out there surveying the ground. We want to see if this is even viable. They're going to obviously know because we have to get permission to get on your property and survey it, you know, so you can get the proper contours to even start an effective design. So realistically, it's like you said, it's in the engineering and design phase. And through that whole engineering phase, there's a lot of communication. It's not that one day we just stroll up and they write a, you know, give you a check and take your land by eminent domain. There's a process that is actually guided by the state typically for just about every process on how you acquire property. So it's pretty standard. But like I said, it's not a one day they show up and then there's a trail in your front yard. It's a process that can take months,
well,
sometimes
what,
years.
How does that tie in though to the grant process? Because obviously once a grant's been awarded, there's conditions attached to it, such as you have to build it. And where does that fit into providing actual notice to residents or property owners?
So you like again, so we would so when we award funding to any community for a trail or a roadway project, we have to put it on a document that basically says, hey, the AMATS board says this project's going to be spent there. At that point, AMATS, what our citizens committee does for AMATS is then reviews those. So this, we call it a citizens committee, it's a throwback to the 70s, but really it's whoever wants to come to a meeting on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night when we do this. And all those listed projects that we, that communities have applied for and requested are listed. And so there's initial time and opportunity that we try to get out that there's, you know, open for public comment if there's concerns. Once a project is awarded and the policy board votes for a project to be funded, at that point it all depends on the schedule of that project. So sometimes, like if the City of Green applied for a trail project this year, we'd be looking at 2024 for build. So we're talking 5 to 6 years out. During that process, they'll start, like Paul said, the first thing they'll do is do a feasibility, do survey work, all that stuff. And usually at that point, again, would be an opportunity for residents to get feedback there as well. So there's multiple steps during the process. We don't, as AMATS, when a community comes to us for funds, we don't say notify a resident about it, because typically we're not sure exactly what an alignment is, and at that point it's like way too early to even know. So, and typically we're going at it from the standpoint of the community's applying for it, they've done their due diligence. And that's why we have these plans. So if something was on the plan, they would bring it to us, they'd say, hey, this is on the plan, it was approved by council, you know, and therefore this is what we want to build. So then AMATS looks at it and says, okay, this is something they want to build, and then we would potentially fund it if it's scored high enough. And then that process would go in. So there's no trigger button that say notifies everyone until it gets down to that engineering level. Yeah.
Can we be guaranteed by the City of Green that we will be notified so that the residents on the street, not the owners of the home, will actually be notified of any work that they need to be done, any public meetings or to be held as these resort? Last year when we had the development information being sent out, we found out the day after about the NEA, about what was going on our street. And because it was sent to our bank that owns the home and not to us that live along the street, and to what was going on the street.
Every other document we receive from the city comes to our residents, but that particular one went to the bank and then delayed, so that's when we found out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So if we could be guaranteed that we would be notified of all public meetings, notifications, and things of the sort, via email, text. I get text messages from the city on other things. If we can do the same thing on this, because I never got an email about, and I'm on the city email system, about the public information from last year on where would you like to go, what would you like to see on the city.
Right.
I would say
for sure to provide. I mean, like you said, your email's on there. I would say specifically on the list that's here. I'm absolutely confident that the city will make sure if your email is on this page, you will get an email before a public meeting. And I will just say, just to be honest, is that is the hardest thing about planning. And when you're doing long range planning and you're talking about these things that could be 5-10 years out, is that typically it doesn't get attention until there are lines on the map. And so that's one of the things, but yet at the same time, the problem with that is that then obviously everybody comes out and says there's lines on the map, you know, but when you talk too conceptually, no one comments and no one gives you comments. So it's a fine line. I'm not saying this is the right way to do it, I'm just saying that's one of the problems that is challenging about trying to build one of these documents. I mean, we did when we had one of our public meetings, I think we had, you know, 40 or 50 people, but it's a different 40 or 50 people, and you've got 25,000 people. No one is a sample size. You know, this group isn't a sample of the whole community, just like another group isn't a sample of the whole community, stratified. But, Ms. Capper, yeah.
As a resident just north of the really dangerous S-curve on South Main Street, just by 619. I find it, and I'm not on that route map, unfortunately. I would like to be on that route map. I have a 5-year-old and an 18-month-old. I'd love to be able to just walk down the road to go to Mueller's or to go down the road even further to just go to the park with my children. And I see the value of the long-term vision of this plan, and I'm actually pleased that everyone's here tonight to talk about it, because whether you have an issue with it or you're for it, I'm for it. I don't think it's going to be a perfect plan, but I like hearing some of the concerns that everyone has here, because obviously those maps, that line can be changed. I would hate for this plan to not be adopted. Maybe not as in current position, in current condition, but I think, as was highlighted tonight, Green has a need to have connectivity. Green is an up-and-coming city. These are trends that are happening. I see it all over the area, everywhere I go on vacation, things like that. That trails and just being able to go out my front door, down the road a little bit, to buy something or to go to the park with my children is something that is in high demand. And I think it sounds like everyone's kind of agreeing that this kind of connectivity is a positive thing. Maybe not exactly where some of those lines are, and I think some of those lines probably should change as a result of that. But I think the plan overall has some merit, has some really good long-term investment for Green and the community at large.
I totally agree with him. Of course, I don't know, like I said, maybe all areas won't work for everybody because of different reasons. I'm from Green for well over 40 years ago. I graduated high school. I just recently moved back to my mom's home this past year because she passed away. I lived in Akron for the past 20 years, the Kenmore area. I was always within a trail within 5 minutes. I mean, I'd get down, I'd jump on, you know, the Willow Road here and there. I come to Green, I'm trying to get on the computer to find City of Green. I can't even connect to you guys because it says dangerous connections. I'm trying to find a walking trail, trying to find a bike trail. I don't know where to go. The only thing I know how to do from my house or Raven Road right now is to go to Vanderhoof, how I used to pick it up before, but I want to go to a different area. So I have no idea how to get anywhere right now to get to where my towpath and the trails. So if I had a place that's a little bit closer than Vanderhoof, great, but I mean, I watch you guys go up and down Raven Road on his bicycle. Now I bicycle to Raven Road. And I'm scared to death about Raven Road. My house, I'm trying to make a left-hand turn by the railroad tracks there. They passed me on the left, and I've almost been hit probably 8-10 times in the past 6 months. So I'm not going to bicycle up Raven Road. I'm going to take it somewhere. But right now, the only place I do know is Vanderhoof is my nearest spot to pick up the towpath. And if someone could tell me another way to find out this information for the City of Grant, I'd love to find out. And I love the fact that you guys are going to try to do that, because Grant is a wonderful area.
We're not saying that it's all or nothing. I think the plan's very good, just as it's five. I love you. Me and the engineering gentleman, we were talking last night, and we don't remember trick-or-treating in ditches, because that's how you got around. I'm not saying that. I'm specifically looking at the safety of my family on the south corner. So I'm not opposing the plan. I'm saying that part of the plan, and there's no way you can move it. It's not conceptual. It's either there or it's not there. You can't move it. That's not put on the other side of the street, because it's not. It's my backyard, this plant, this thing, like. So we just want it to go away. I just don't want to invite trouble to my back door.
You're
I agree.
Think
connectivity is great.
So there's no big road there. It's a dead end.
Yeah, it's a dead end street.
There's nowhere else to go.
I understand.
Markers on the maps. We do that.
Well, yeah, actually, it's kind of what I want to do. I know everyone is, at this point, I think we know where the signs are. We know how people feel. Please write your comments on the map, write them strongly. I'm sure the city will take those into consideration. And then we will be here at least till 8 o'clock if you want to approach any of us to ask specific questions or anything along those lines. So, and then Chris asked me to remind you that there are those comment cards as well that I think the city would be eager to receive. And with that, I would think that would conclude the formal part of the presentation, but please stick around for as long as you feel necessary. Thank you.